legislation and the Equal Rights Amendment well into the 1970s.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, a little disheartened, a little angry. I remember the 1980 U.S. hockey team. I remember how incredible that Miracle on Ice was. I remember, the players from the team, because at the time I was 13 at the time playing hockey. I watched every minute of that Olympics, and this weekend to see that group who beat the Russians, wear a MAGA hat with Trump on, and then claim it's not political. Just ridiculous and sad and really kind of sad that we can't even have that memory. So congratulations, guys, 1980 till now, the country was with you. Now I think you've almost split the country in half. Smooth move there. Guys, anyway, here to share some thoughts on the trolling, on Nevada, on all of the news of the day, I've asked Ryan Knight to come talk with us. Ryan's a political analyst and also host of the Amped Up podcast that you can find on your favorite podcast platforms. Ryan, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I got this thing, and I don't know if you heard the opening, but I got this thing over the weekend where I had a Warren troll come after me for saying that as a Sanders supporter, I denounce harassment and intimidation. And that includes harassment and intimidation of Sanders supporters. And so I got a bunch of Elizabeth Warren people who were angry at me for this, because evidently the Bernie bros have said mean things to them. And they think that Bernie supporters are the only ones who say mean things. So immediately I thought of you. Because you were a Warren supporter, now you've gone over to the other side, to Sanders. Have you been getting the same kind of attacks?
Yeah. Well, look, I have a podcast, and I'm a political analyst, and when you put your opinions out there, get ready. It's Twitter, especially, it's almost like the Wild West now. And everyone has an opinion, and a lot of people hide by fake avatars. And remember that a lot of the people who are posting super divisive stuff and don't have a real picture or a real name, they might be a troll as well. But what I really think we're seeing here is we're seeing a very contested primary.
Yep.
And, we got a lot on the line.
I agree.
Our democracy. So, people are passionate and about their candidates, and, we're getting to crunch time here. But look, let's kind of talk about the important thing, and that's what's happening in this election, because what we're seeing is something truly remarkable. For the past year, before any votes were cast, we've had political pundits, on cable news and, the Democratic establishment, basically telling us, who was the most electable, right? That Joe Biden was the most electable candidate and that this primary was going to be a coronation of him. Well, what we're seeing actually is the most electable candidate is the one that the people vote for.
Right.
Right. The most electable candidate is the one who's winning elections. And Bernie Sanders is the first candidate in history for either political party, for the Democratic or the Republican primaries, to win the popular vote in all three of the early states. First, he did it in Iowa, then he did it in New Hampshire, and then this past weekend, he did it in Nevada. And so what we're seeing here is that the establishment and the corporate media pundits were wrong, right? That Joe Biden, that the voters don't want to go back to 2016. They don't want to go back. We haven't been fighting this hard against Donald Trump to just go back to the way things were before, because those were the conditions that elected Donald Trump.
Right.
People are telling us that they want to move forward. And Sanders has a forward-looking vision for a more equitable and just America. And I think we need to talk about Sanders' win in Nevada. Because, this wasn't just a win. This was a statement. There were some people who said, well, the first two states that he won, those are mostly white states, right? And that, let's see what happens when voters of color go to the polls. Well, voters of color went to the polls in Nevada and overwhelmingly picked Sanders. Bernie won, so he won white voters, he won non-white voters, he won the women vote in Nevada, he won the male voters, he won voters age 17 to 29, he won voters age 30 to 44, he won voters age 45 to 65, and here's the shocker, he won, of course, the liberal Democrats, but Sanders also won moderate Democrats, and he ended up winning by 27 points. In a crowded field. I mean, this was a resounding statement. And I think what people are missing is that the working people in America are tired, yep. right? They know that the system is rigged against them. And finally, a candidate like Sanders comes along and is speaking to their pain, is speaking to, you know, their hopes as well, and wanting to see a system and a government that's on their side. Not on the side of big business and billionaires, and we're seeing that all the pundits were wrong, and that Sanders is the most electable candidate.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree with you. But here's my problem. And the reason I started off with the topic that I have is because I'm concerned that you're going to have a bunch of people who are going to be like it's been reported that the Sanders folks were. To Hillary. Well, if it's not my guy, I'm not voting, or I'm staying home. I have so many people on my Facebook and my Twitter feed who are saying, well, if Sanders is the candidate, I'm just going to stay home. And it's at some point you got to go, wait a second. The enemy is not Bernie Sanders. The target of we got to get out of the White House is Donald Trump. Stop attacking each other. Stop eating each other. Stop the circular firing squad and put all of your view into, hey, I'm going to fight like hell for my candidate. But if my candidate isn't the one that is the nominee, I'm going to vote for who is, because the real problem is the guy who's occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue at this very moment.
Absolutely. And let's also step back and remember that the accounts, the Twitter accounts and the Facebook accounts that are bashing Bernie Sanders every day, they don't represent the mainstream views of the Democratic Party. Because there, you look at any opinion poll. I have a poll right up on my computer. I get my stats ready for when I come on your show. But there was a poll by the Associated Press 2 days ago. Who is the most favorability, and the most favorable Democratic candidate by far is Bernie Sanders.
No, 74%
of Democrats favor him.
Right.
So the people online who are saying they'll stay home or just saying that he doesn't represent their values, they're the minority. They're the 26% of our party who doesn't like Sanders. Sanders is the most overwhelmingly favorite. He by far, of all of them. The next one is Biden at 67%, and then Warren at 64%. So sometimes we give some of the anecdotal evidence we see online too much power. Like, the people, this electorate, the Democratic electorate, is telling us that they want change and that Sanders represents the change they want. And, you know, the other thing I think we have to talk about is, because we're seeing all of this now, that people are on cable news and people in the Democratic establishment are kind of like, oh, wow, yeah, Sanders is the presumptive frontrunner now. And, you know, polling shows that I think out of the 40, we have 47 more states left, and Sanders is favored in 44 of them. And so you're seeing just a freak out. I mean, I'm seeing like panic. I mean, there was panic.
It's the reason that Bloomberg. Bloomberg has spent $500 million.
Right. But it's like it's nonstop fear mongering and panic and hysteria. And here's what I have to say to all that. You have to be really bad at politics to see the multiracial and multigenerational coalition that Bernie Sanders is building and react to that by hysterically thinking that we need to stop him, right? Like, if the goal is to beat Trump, you don't try to stop the one candidate who's building the kind of movement and the kind of grassroots campaign that can beat Donald Trump.
No, absolutely.
So what we're having here is that if people who maybe have feelings left over from 2016 and some of the bad blood that happened in 2016 between Bernie and Hillary. And I get that. But now we actually have real numbers. We have voters who voted in the first three states and overwhelmingly said they want Bernie Sanders to be our nominee. And we have polling that says Bernie Sanders is the most likely candidate to beat Donald Trump. So we can't go off a pundit's feeling. we now that we have data and numbers, we need to go off the facts and we need to go off the numbers. And the numbers all say that Sanders is the one that we need to start rallying behind. So, you know, yes, vote blue no matter who. And what's really interesting is, you know, the Democratic establishment was preaching unity and vote blue no matter who until Bernie Sanders became the front runner, right?
It was that,
now,
yes.
Now, all of a sudden, they're preaching panic and hysteria and a contested convention. And, Rick, let's not forget, it speaks to a bigger issue. How out of touch the establishment is with the working people of this country.
No, I agree. You know, when you got James Carville, when you got James Carville running around saying, "Oh, the Democratic Party's lost its mind." No, the Democratic Party has lost its mind a long time ago and didn't talk to working class voters. The reason you had so many people voting for Donald Trump in Ohio and Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania is because Democrats forgot those people, forgot the white working class, forgot the working class, forgot about what got them to the dance, which were the policies of FDR, which were allowing people to join in form unions, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, making sure that there's a net beneath people's feet so that they can strike out on their own. You know, that's the party that I support, not the DLC Democrats that were, you know, less bad on labor issues than Republicans, not the DLC Democrat that, you know, that preached austerity. That's not what I wanted.
Right. Well, and it's like, I don't know what the centrist Democrats stand for anymore. Like, all I hear from centrist Democrats is fear and panic and Russia, Russia, Russia. And I get it. Like, it's scary. You know, I get that Trump is a really scary president, but being afraid of him isn't going to beat him, you know? And so on the other hand, all I hear from Bernie Sanders is a $15 living wage. You know, a Green New Deal that's going to save our planet and create 10 million new jobs, good paying union jobs. You know, I hear guaranteed health care. I hear racial and economic justice. And I think that the Democratic voters are hearing that, too. And that's why they're voting and rallying behind Bernie Sanders. And I also think, like, I think the American people are tired of all the fear mongering and they're ready for real change. They're ready for a government that works for them, not for the corporations and billionaires. And I also think, you know, one of the reasons I think the establishment politicians in our party and the, you know, the corporate media pundits you hear on CNN and MSNBC, I think the reason they're so shocked by Sanders' surge and by him winning the first three states is because I really think they're disconnected from what's happening in our country to working people. Working people, they basically haven't had a raise in almost four decades now, right? We've seen wages stay mostly flat for the average everyday American. And we're seeing an enormous amount of wealth concentrated in the top one-tenth of 1%. We're watching just, you know, these fortunes of the billionaires grow bigger and bigger. And we're watching the bank accounts of working people get smaller and smaller, you know, when 60% of Americans can't afford a $500 emergency. That's a problem in our country.
Absolutely.
You know, when 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, like, that's a problem. You know, income inequality just hit a 50-year high. That's a problem. And both parties, establishment Republicans and establishment Democrats, are looking the other way. They're looking away from working people, and they're looking toward their corporate and billionaire donors. And what the people of this country are saying, what black working class people and brown working class people and white working class people are saying is, no, we are looking toward Bernie Sanders because he is building a people-powered movement that is going to not only just beat Donald Trump, but it's going to bring real change to our country that will lift up working people. And all this fear-mongering that, you know, that the corporate Democrats are trying to use against Bernie Sanders in the primary, guess what? It's not working. Bernie Sanders is beating them all. And Donald Trump is going to use the same fear-mongering tactics against Bernie Sanders in the general election. And guess what? That won't work either, because the American people are ready for change.
Yeah. I think, you know, who the Manhattan Institute is?
Yes.
They're a very conservative think tank. They came out with a report today that pointed out that in 1985, And this speaks to exactly what you're saying. In 1985, it took 30 weeks of work for a male worker to support a family of four. 30 weeks of work. That meant that you had an additional 22 weeks for savings, for disposal, for vacations, for whatever. That is now, today, 2018, 53 weeks of work to support the same family. Can't do it. There aren't 53 weeks in the year. So I think they've pointed out the problem that I don't think most pundits have figured out, and that is the working class is working harder and longer for less, and they're still falling behind. And Sanders, and I've said this from the very beginning, my first interview ever was with Bernie Sanders 15 years ago when I started this program. He was right then. He's right now. He has been on the right side of the issues that I'm concerned about, and that's labor issues from the very beginning, from the first time I heard his name. And it's about this kind of kitchen table economic stuff that I think he speaks so well to, and I think he wins Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and is competitive in Ohio.
Agreed. You know, and I agreed. And I think that, you know, when something like this is happening, when you're seeing an uprising like this that's coming from, you know, the working class, that means it's like if you are a journalist or you are a pundit, you know, on CNN or MSNBC, instead of attacking Sanders and attacking what's going on, attacking his supporters, it's time for these pundits to start to get curious and actually see what's going on in our country. Get outside of your bubble and go out and talk to the working people of this country who haven't had a raise in 40 years and try to figure this stuff out. That's what the problem and the disconnect, you know, with our corporate media is they're not going out there and connecting the dots. You know, they're parroting the same talking points over and over. Meanwhile, the people are like, well, talk about this booming economy. I don't see it in my bank account.
Exactly.
You know, and then they get sick and they go to the doctor and they can't even afford to get their prescription filled, you know, and then, you know, their co-pays and their deductibles, or they can't afford that anymore. And it, you know, we've come to a point where it's just enough is enough, you know, and the things, I think I said this on your program last time, what progressives are fighting for, what Bernie Sanders and his movement are fighting for is not radical or the far left. It's the center in every other democratic nation, right? Like everywhere in Europe, which are also social democracies, right? Europe has democratic socialism. You know, that word doesn't scare people who are under 40. You know, people of my generation, I'm a millennial, like we're more scared of unregulated capitalism because look what it's done to us. But that's all Bernie's fighting for, you know, what they have in Norway and Denmark and England. You know, they have universal health care. So if you get sick, you don't go bankrupt. You know, it's just, it's basic stuff. And you know, the establishments in both parties have tried to push back against a universal health care system. And they've tried to push back against the living wage. And they've tried to push back against fighting climate change or bringing in new jobs. You know, that's the one thing with Bernie, too, is it's like he doesn't just want to save the planet. He wants to bring in new jobs, you know, and start a whole green manufacturing industry where these clean energy jobs can start to put people back to work in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
I'm right there with you. Again, I was on the Sanders train from the beginning. But as I've said, if he's not the nominee, I will vote for whoever is. But you're right. The momentum is behind him. The energy is behind him. And we'll see what happens coming into South Carolina. So let me ask you about that. All the pundits are saying Joe Biden should win South Carolina. And I think he should because, yep. You know, it's where they've put the majority of their resources. I think their campaign is staked on South Carolina as they move into Super Tuesday. At what point do the rest of the field decide that, you know, they're not viable?
Well, you bring up a good point about Joe Biden in South Carolina. You know, he's always said that this is his firewall. And, you know, there was a poll out this morning, and it's pretty much a statistical tie now. I think Biden was up 3 points, which was in the margin of error over Sanders. But, I mean, if here's the deal is, Biden favored slightly in South Carolina over Sanders because it's an older electorate, and Biden does really well with older voters. That's like it's one demographic he does well with, and he also does, you know, he does well with older black voters, which is a lot of South Carolina's electorate. But that's really the last place where he is favored over Sanders. I mean, when you look at the Super Tuesday states, Sanders is favored in all of them. So I think, you know, I think South Carolina is going to be close. I think you'll get, if Biden does eke out a 3-point victory over Sanders, you're going to hear all the corporate media pundits, just like they were saying for a year, you know, Biden's back, and you'll hear all that hoopla. But I mean, it will only last 3 days, because 3 days later, it'll be Super Tuesday. And I think that's where you're going to see Sanders really pull away from the field. You know, I don't think there's all this talk about dropping out. Look, Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe this morning said that Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar should drop out of the race. I love that he just happened to pick the two women candidates. That yeah. They're the ones who should drop out. When you look at Pete Buttigieg, he's polling close to zero, I think maybe 2% now with black voters. I mean, his entire coalition is white moderate voters, which can't win. He's not putting together a winning coalition. So, you know, I don't think anyone should drop out. I think that's a democracy. Everyone gets to run. I think what's going to happen is when Super Tuesday hits, you know, and that's going to really tell us. And I think that Super Tuesday, Sanders is going to pull way ahead, and people will just, you know, they'll see that the writing's on the wall, and then that will force people out of the race. But calling, you know, candidates to drop out, I just think that's undemocratic. And, you know, because there's a lot of people right now on, again, corporate media or more establishment politicians saying, well, yeah, you know, everyone, all the moderates should drop out so they stop splitting the vote so we can stop Sanders. Again, our goal isn't to stop Sanders. Our goal is to stop Donald Trump.
Yep.
And why would you try to stop Sanders when all the polling shows he's the best candidate to beat Donald Trump? I think it drives me nuts. Like, how bad do you have to be at politics to think you should stop the one candidate who can win for us?
Well, they're the same people who've lost, the same people who've been losing races for the last couple of years. So it wouldn't be surprising to me.
And it was the same reason we lost in 2016, was listening to kind of the more corporate media pundits and, you know, and the centrists. Yeah. I mean, we can't run the same race we ran in 2016 and expect a different result now in 2020.
I'm right there with you. Ryan, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Good stuff. Keep up the fight. Keep up the great work. I hope folks will check out your podcast, Amped Up. You can get it on your favorite podcast platforms. But again, thanks. I appreciate it, Ryan, man.
You bet. Have a good show.
Good stuff. Our good friend Ryan Knight. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith.